Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150, WBLQ in the Northeast, 1230 AM, as well as Cable Radio Network, and of course, Transformation Talk Radio. If you're watching via 1150am.com, note that you can also access us on the video feed, and you can get important questions answered, such as, are we drinking coffee or water? And do we still talk with our hands even though we're speaking on the radio? So good morning, Benny. How are you?
Excellent questions to be answered. And the proper website is actually 1150kknw.com. Let everybody know so we can have more listeners and now viewers watch you do your thing in studio.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For watching my back.
Yeah, I've got you, just like a backpack does.
I know.
Got your back.
Oh, great. Thank you. And it's strange weather here today, isn't it, Benny?
I mentioned it earlier. It's a potpourri of weather. It's spring in Seattle and the area, so just expect a little bit of everything today.
Yeah, well, we didn't have snow all winter, and I woke up this morning, and it's like, oh, my goodness, we've got several inches of snow on the ground, and it's still coming down.
I know. I mentioned it, how could you not, on a couple earlier shows, and as of last week, I actually switched over my snow tires to the, you know, proper summer tires. And now look what Mother Nature
did to us. It's your fault, Benny. It's your fault.
It's Mother Nature.
Yes,
Don't mess with her.
Yes. Well, I'm really excited about today's show. You know, I am passionate about not viewing spirituality as something that where you transcend the body and the emotions, but rather it's where the body, mind, and spirit come together, where we experience the most wholeness, our fullest experience of life, and where we experience our spiritual self in most profound ways. Today, we're going to be talking about something that pertains to this as it relates to food, which always excites me. I love food. My guest today is Meadow Lynn. She is the co-author of Quest, A Guide for Creating Your Own Vision Quest, and The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. She's a noted speaker, writer, chef. She writes for the Seattle Chinese Times. She's the daughter of healer, teacher, author Denise Lynn, who's written a zillion books. I think it's 16 or 17 last count. And so she's had exposure to the alternative realm for quite a while. She's a self-taught chef, and she began catering at her mother's retreats during her summer breaks. I actually know somebody who attended one of those, and she said, oh, Meadow, she's a fabulous human being. And, oh, she's an amazing chef. She believes that eating well brings balance and harmony to mind, body, and spirit, and that good food should be a celebration of life. And I'm particularly lucky because she's here in the studio with me today. Welcome, Meadow Lynn.
Thank you so much. It's such a joy to be here.
You know, Meadow, I'm just going to tell the story. I get lots and lots of requests from publicists to have people on. And, of course, you know, once I looked into this, it's like, I was absolutely enthralled, and I knew that I had to have you, and eventually love to have your mother on the show as well. But that's often not the way I choose. You know, I'm very energetically based, and when something intuitively feels right, it's like, okay, I have no idea what this is about, but this is what I need to have this person on the show. And when your publicist, like, sent something my way, it's a publicist I've worked with for many years, it's like, yes, I have no idea who she is or what she's done, but I absolutely have to have her because I knew that you were just a very high vibrational person. And meeting you here today, it validates that for me.
Oh, thank you. What a wonderful story.
So,
and it's so amazing, too, the synchronicity that I happened to be in Seattle the very same week.
But... Oh, I know. It is. And you're here to do a presentation at East West. I mean, I know that you write for Seattle Chinese Times, is it called? And, you know, you used to live here, so you've got friends here, But you're not normally up here. You're here for an event.
No, it's a joy. I feel so lucky.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
And to see snow. I haven't seen snow in a long time. I live in California.
Yeah, really, really. Well, I'd love to hear how you went from, you got your master's degree in French cultural studies from Columbia. You used to live in the New York area. And
I actually have never really spent much time in New York. Columbia has a satellite school in Paris, so I did all of my graduate work in Paris. So it's amazing.
Really?
People ask me, how is New York? And I say, I don't know.
I didn't realize they had a satellite.
They do. And, you know, it was actually fascinating. Just recently, I've been reading a book about Jacqueline Kennedy's time in Paris and Angela Davis and somebody else. It's a memoir about their lives in Paris. And it was fascinating to me to learn that Jacqueline Kennedy, her friends, lived in the same place where I studied in Paris. I just love that connection.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, but you were on your path. You had an 8-year teaching career, right? And you shifted gears.
I did. And, it's really scary to quit your job. I spent years studying to have the degrees and the credentials I needed to become a teacher. And I had a really good job. For teaching, I had a pretty good salary. I had great benefits. I had summer vacation.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
And it was really scary. But I also knew that there was part of me that was missing. And I've been passionate about food and cooking since the dawn of time, really, is measured by my own personal life.
Right.
That my earliest memories are crawling into the cupboards and pulling out food and mixing and concocting and making my own kitchen alchemy. And I didn't want to get to the end of my life and wonder, well, what if? Mm-hmm. What if I hadn't followed that passion to its fullest extent? And as you mentioned, I've spent my summers since I was a teenager cooking for my mom's retreats, and I cook for friends and family, but I wanted to see what it would be like if I really followed that passion. And so 4 years ago, I quit my teaching career. And it was right at the height of the economic downturn.
Oh.
And people would say to me in kind of, hushed tones, aren't you scared? Aren't mm-hmm. you afraid? What are you going to do? On the outside, I'd smile and tell everybody how excited I was. And on the inside, I was totally freaking out. Like,
right.
What do you do when you just quit your job and suddenly you don't have health insurance?
Right.
But also, I needed to follow that passion, and it wasn't easy. I cried a lot. There was a lot of, anguish and tears as I kind of figured out what I wanted to do, because I knew I wanted to follow my dream and passion for food, but I wasn't sure what the day-to-day of that dream would be. And I started by writing a blog and just trying different things. And now it's so exciting 4 years later to have this book that my mom and I have done together that really encapsulates everything that I'm passionate about living deliciously and savoring your meals as a way to savor your life.
That's a wonderful story. And I think that's the kind of story that can relate, that just about everybody can relate to, because I think oftentimes what happens is, we grow up, and when we're little, we are passionate about something. Okay, so maybe we're not going to grow up to be an astronaut or a ballerina, but along the way, something shifts within us, and we decide we have to go from what's connected to our heart to what's sensible. And I think that a lot of people have squelched their dreams, and not only in terms of careers, but I think people do it in terms of relationships, in terms of living situations. There are all sorts of ways where we decide we just have to settle. And so not only is it a wonderful success story, but it's great that you shared how vulnerable you were and how you did experience the fear and you shed the tears. And yet here you are on the other side and being a bright light and bringing new perspective to food.
And it is, it's so amazing that when my mom works, she trains people to be soul coaches, and when she works with trains the coaches, she often will tell them to ask their clients, what was it you liked to do as a kid? What uh-huh. made you joyful? And it's a wonderful way to kind of tap into that childhood sense of joy and see what it is that we're passionate about. Because you said so many of us often lose that. And now in retrospect, when I look back at my childhood, it's so fascinating to see how early I was already showing this passion for food and cooking, that I was putting Christmas ornaments on the tree. Well, now I guess it's a couple months ago. Time goes by pretty fast.
It's flying by, yes.
But, and every year my mom has bought me one Christmas ornament to commemorate that particular year.
Right.
And she usually chooses. But one year when I was 5, I got to choose my own. And I was noticing when I was putting it on the tree this year that it's a little wooden, little it's a little wooden ornament with a rolling pin and a little wooden spoon. And what's fascinating about that is my mom really didn't want me to choose that one. It was pretty boring compared to all the others. The others were sparkly and magical. Right. And this is plain wood, not painted, just this little tiny kitchen utensils. And I was adamant at 5 that that is the ornament that I wanted. And then now to look back and see, wow, look, at 5, I was already following this passion.
Right.
And now, many, many years later, I am doing just that.
That's a great story, because not only were you, you knew what you were passionate about, you were also implanting a little message for your grown-up self to say, yes, you're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, that's a great story. So, you know, your book is entitled The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food, which you've written with your mother, Denise Lynn. Why did you choose the word alchemy?
You know, alchemy, it's such a, well, it's a wonderful word, actually, just as far as words go. I love words. But, but you know, the ancient alchemists of yore were, you know, probably part madmen, part mystic, but they were on to something, even though they weren't successful necessarily, really, in turning base metals into gold. They were on to something in the idea that you could take something ordinary and turn it into the extraordinary. And when you go into the kitchen, every time you're creating kitchen alchemy. And actually, Joanne Harris, she's the author of Chocolat and a few other novels. Her novel was turned into the movie Chocolat with Johnny Depp and Juliette Binoche.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, isn't that fabulous? And she actually wrote, when we showed her a copy of our book, she said that she believes that alchemy is the, or cooking is the last acceptable form of alchemy in our modern world.
Oh.
And alchemy, I think there's a number of different ways that comes into play in the kitchen. One simply is you take kind of base ingredients and you mix and blend them together to create something that is more than the sum of its parts. You know, imagine making a vegetable stew. You take the onions and the carrots and the potatoes and whatever else you're putting in your stew, tomatoes or cabbage. And each of those vegetables is really good on their own. And then you mix and blend them together and it creates something that's more than each of those ingredients on their own. And that is alchemy. But then on top of that, you blend in your own love, your joy, your own vibration and energy. And that's where you really start to create magic. You know, it's just in the way that many of us will wax lyrical about grandma's apple pie.
Yes.
You know, and grandma probably makes a good apple pie.
Uh-huh.
But it's not simply the apples and the cinnamon and the butter and the flour that people are tasting. They're tasting grandma's warm embrace, her love, maybe her laugh, the joy that she felt when she was making that pie for her grandchildren.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. And there's so many aspects of the energetics of food. And we need to go on a quick break here. But when we return, I'm going to be asking you about how the energy goes beyond the basic nutrition and how to access it in new ways to create what you say, go from nourishment to nirvana, when we return on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you struggling through difficult times? During these times of change, many of us need tools and support to help us get through. Julie Kleinhans is the host of the hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay and is a world-renowned life coach. Many of us are worrying about what will happen to our jobs, our homes, and to our lives. This is why Julie is offering a 40% discount through January 31st of 2013 to support you and your family through these difficult times. She'll teach you how to use energy tools that will help you relieve the stress and anxiety in your life. Julie is donating the net proceeds to victims of Superstorm Sandy through the organization All Hands Volunteers, a U.S.-based nonprofit dedicated to empowering disaster relief volunteers and rebuilding communities. Please call Julie at 516-639-8042. 516-639-8042 or email Julie at mindfocusgeneration.com for more details and to schedule a session.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show on Transformation Talk Radio. We have Meadow Lynn here. She's the author of The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. Now, Meadow, this is not your typical cookbook.
No, it's not at all. In a lot of ways, it does contain recipes, which I believe are all very delicious, in my completely unbiased opinion, since they're all creations of my mind and my palate. But it's really more, in a lot of ways, a cookbook for life, that the way that you approach your meals can dictate how you approach your life in a lot of ways, because food is so central to our lives. So we have a lot of tips and strategies of ways that you can approach your meals to bring more joy, happiness, and even spiritual transformation, if you want to go that far, to your life from your meals.
Well, you know, I think many people today, they rely on fast food or pre-prepared foods, you know, from grocery stores. And there's some good ones out there. You know, there's a chain of co-ops around here that makes some very high vibrational foods. Many people have lost the art of the cooking and the connection through cooking. How do we reintroduce that into our lives?
There's so many different ways. And a lot of what we write about in the Mystic Cookbook is, you know, there are a lot of busy people who say, I'm too busy to do any of that. So we do give suggestions for people who don't cook but still want to eat high vibration foods and things that you can do with packaged food or prepared food. But when possible, you know, when you create your own kitchen alchemy, if you will, since we're talking about alchemy, you can create really high vibration food. And it's so much more delicious. That I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you try like two identical dishes, you know, made by two different people and they don't taste the same.
Right.
And I use the example of a snowball that, you know, when you start to make a snowman and you start with a small snowball and it continually picks up more and more snow, especially like this wet snow we're having today, you know, it's real sticky.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like that with energy, that the food starts out, you know, as its little seed. It gets planted in the ground and grows into a plant, and it gets harvested, well, watered, and, you know, taken care of first, then harvested and taken to market. And it's like that with the snowball. It's picking up energy just as that snowball picks up more snow. And that all goes into our food. So when you're cooking, you can actually consciously infuse that energy into your food. One of the things that I love to do is to play music when I'm cooking.
Oh, I love to do that too.
Oh, it's so fun. And sometimes I like, you know, rock and roll, dance around. Other times a little calmer. I like jazz. And sometimes I like to cook very quiet and kind of meditative. But the music changes the energy. It shifts that vibration. And then I naturally find myself dancing and singing despite, you know, in spite of myself. Right. And that all brings more joy to the kitchen, which actually puts joy into the food.
Well, you know, what you're talking about from my perspective is not woo-woo. It's I mean, seriously, because scientists are able to measure aspects of energy. And, you know, we've got that the slower vibration of the matter, you know. Okay, that carrot, it is dense and it's got a slow vibration, but there's also light associated with it. And what we emanate from our energetic field affects other things, other people, and it makes perfect sense to me that there's like this melding of energy to create something more. And you're talking about the synergism of it before, the you know, just because you put two things together doesn't mean that it's just the sum of the parts. It can be something much greater created. So that makes perfect sense to me that it creates something more to ingest than just the basic matter.
And we quote Einstein in the Mystic Cookbook, and I really need to memorize the quote because every time I try to recreate it, I don't do a great job.
It's Einstein, you know.
But basically what he said is the way that we understand matter is wrong.
Yes.
That it is all energy and vibration.
Right.
And this is Einstein.
Absolutely.
And, you know, my uncle is an astrophysicist, and he wrote a book on color vision. And he talks in color, when you look at it from a, you know, physicist's point of view, it's all frequency and vibration.
Right.
They're, you know, ultraviolet, we can't see it because it's such a high frequency, but it still exists.
Yeah.
That everything is energy.
Yes. And there are ways in which scientists are now being able to evaluate it. But there's so many ways that we're just not there yet. But we, you know, I think everybody's had that experience when they're growing up, they're not feeling well. And yes, they're feeling well enough to go fix that cup of hot cocoa themselves. But it feels so much better if mom does it for them. You know, it's not just the love that they feel. I think that there's definitely something infused within that food.
It's that comforting, that nurturing, and that feeling of love that someone would make it for you.
Yeah, yeah. So you talk about how the color of food can affect us. Can you talk a little bit more about that here?
Yeah, I love talking about color. I could talk about it for a long time. I'm so drawn to color, and
I think it's too.
Because I'm very visual. So I have a large vegetable garden in my backyard, and I always go out of my way to get the most colorful heirloom varieties of whatever is possible. So when I plant carrots, I don't just plant orange carrots. I plant yellow carrots, purple carrots.
Oh, fun. I didn't know purple carrots existed.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Are you kidding me right now?
No.
Purple carrots.
I've never heard or seen. Are you serious?
I'm totally serious. There's two kinds, too. The most common one that you can find is purple on the outside and orange on the inside. But there is a variety that I've never seen in the seed catalogs, but I have seen at my farmer's market that is purple all the way through.
No kidding.
Wow.
I'm floored right now. I don't know.
Yes. I need to find one of those for the Easter Bunny.
Like a time warp hole just opened up somewhere. It just happened. I didn't even know about this.
Oh, they're awesome.
I'm going to so look it up now.
So I go out of my way to get colorful produce for my garden. I have three chickens, and each of them lays a different color of egg. I have blue, green, and peach. Eventually,
I will get
some brown, maybe white, too. But it's so – and the eggs don't taste any different, but I just love that color.
Yes.
But anyway, enough about my garden. I could talk about my garden for a long time, too. But color affects us so deeply in many ways. As we talked about the fact that it has different frequency and vibration.
Uh-huh.
And what's fascinating is our human experience, the way we perceive the world, is directly related to our diet. We see in color because of the way that we eat. We need to differentiate between good food and dangerous food.
That makes perfect sense.
Whereas a panda only sees black and white because he only needs to eat bamboo. So the way that we see the world is about color. But then when we, as I said, I could talk about this for a long time, so I'm like jumping all around because I get so excited. But color can affect us emotionally and spiritually as well. They've done research that if they paint walls pink, uh-huh, in psychiatric facilities, the patients calm down.
Right.
Also, orange. We used to have an orange dining room when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Orange is the color of creativity and joy. It's a great color to have in your dining room.
Yes.
Green aids in digestion. So like in Morocco, they serve mint tea at the end of a meal.
Uh-huh.
Mint is really good for digestion.
Sure.
But also, I wonder if there's that connection between the color as well. And red, that's an appetite stimulant. You see red, you want more, more, more.
There's a lot of red in restaurants.
Exactly. Target, red,
oh, yeah.
McDonald's. It's all these big chain stores, fast food restaurants. It's all red and orange, those colors, because they want you to consume more.
Right.
And blue is an appetite depressant. So for people who are trying to lose weight, they often suggest that you put a blue light in your refrigerator.
Fascinating.
And it's actually really, this I get so excited about. I think it's so cool. There's a study that Eric Schlosser writes about in Fast Food Nation, where they had a bunch of people have a steak and French fry dinner. Mm-hmm. And they enjoyed their dinner. And it, just as they were finishing, they lifted the lights to show that the steak and the fries were green and blue. They had special lighting. And those are not colors that, especially blue. Blue is not a color that occurs naturally in food. And people will say blueberries, but they're actually not blue.
Exactly, yeah.
But the steak and fries were blue. Maybe I added the green part. I think they were blue. Many people after that reported feeling very ill, and some even vomited. Although, really, the steak and fries were normal. It was just special lighting that made them look that way. But we are so clued into color as making something ripe, delicious, healthy, unhealthy, that they couldn't, they had a physical reaction to seeing the blue color.
You know, Meta, that makes perfect sense to me in terms of, you know, how we've evolved as humans, you know, foraging for food. But also, I think that there's an aspect of it where we intuitively know, based on our own energetic system, what's lacking and what colors, so to speak, we need to have into our system.
Which would make sense both on the spiritual level with the different ways that they affect our consciousness and the vibration, and then also the nutritional level. The different pigments show different micronutrients that are necessary to our health. And thank goodness the USDA is starting to recognize that and is now pushing this rainbow diet. I think the, you know, First Lady has even been talking about that as well, that, you know, red has lycopene and carrots have beta carotene. And I mean, the challenge with doing that is we begin to reduce our food simply to micronutrients, and we lack the idea that it is part of a whole system, and that you eat a carrot because it's beautiful and it's delicious, and you don't eat it simply because it has beta carotene.
Right. And of course, it's got the fiber, but even, you know, even a carrot is more than the sum of its parts.
Exactly. And that's, but that is also part of the reason why we might be drawn to particular colors at a certain time, because we're intuitively knowing that we need either the vibration that it's offering for us or the specific nutrients that are contained within those pigments.
That makes sense. Well, we're going to take another quick break. When we return, we're going to be talking more with Meta Lin, author of The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. Stay tuned.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
I can't get enough for your love, baby.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm Christine Upchurch, and I'm having a fascinating conversation with Meadow Lynn here in the studio. You know, oftentimes it may sound like I'm in the studio with my guest, but more often than not, I'm not. You know, through the magic of technology, they're like in California or in New York, and I'm here in Seattle. But today it's such a pleasure to have my guest in the studio with me. Meadow, can you talk about why you're here in Seattle?
Well, I'm here to chat with you.
Of course.
And also, I'm very excited to be giving an evening talk tonight at East West Bookstore at 7:30 to 9 o'clock. And then tomorrow we'll be doing an experiential workshop from 11 to 2 at East West, and we will be tasting, seeing, smelling, and looking at our food as never before.
Oh, wonderful. A presentation with food involved. You guys don't want to miss that. So, also, if our guests want to find out, or our listeners want to find out more about you, what's your website?
It is themysticcookbook.com for information about the book. And we have 5 recipes available on the website, as well as some delicious photos and some excerpts from the book, as well as if you join our mailing list, you get a free MP3 of a meditation that my mom did to connect with your kitchen angel. So that is themysticcookbook.com.
Wonderful. Now, can you talk about the kitchen angel?
Yeah. Wow. You know, it's funny. I've been catering for my mom's retreats for 18 years. Anyone who wants to do the math on that, feel free. I said I started when I was a teenager. But for years, I would I've always worked in pretty small kitchens, not necessarily always, you know, commercial kitchens. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would finish a meal and think, how did I do that? Like, how did I, in this small space, create a meal for 20 or 30 people single-handedly with multiple dishes? How did I do that in an hour and a half? Because, you know, when you're doing 3 meals a day, there's not a lot of time to work on the next meal. And so sometimes kind of tongue-in-cheek, I'd say, oh, well, I must have a kitchen angel. And it wasn't until this summer, actually, that I really began to see that it wasn't tongue-in-cheek. I really do have a kitchen angel. And I was making a meal at one of these retreats for 25 people. It was the middle of the summer. It was crazy hot in the kitchen. And there was only like an hour left till time to serve the meal. And I pride myself on being on time.
Right.
And I'd planned, it was a Vietnamese meal or Southeast Asian. I'd planned on having 5 courses. And at that point, I was still trying to peel the winter squash for the curry. And just peeling winter squash for like a family of 4 takes a long time, let alone 25 people. And I hadn't washed and soaked the rice. I hadn't even started on the salad. I was still working on another stir fry. And I thought, there is no way that I can do this. So I decided to consciously call forth my kitchen angel. And I asked for his help and guidance. And I just said, I'm so grateful for whatever you can do. Please help me. And the most remarkable thing happened.
What?
The clock stopped moving. I kid you not. And I am a I'm not like way out there as far as like spirituality and new age, but I swear that clock did not move. And I continued to peel and chop the winter squash, get the vegetables ready for the stir fry, wash and soak the rice, start it on the salad, and then when there are about 20 minutes left, it started up again. And then at that point, five of the women from the workshop showed up in the kitchen and said, "We're here to help." And I felt as though the kitchen angel had given me assistance both in divine form and in human physical form by sending the women in. And with their help at the last minute, because a lot of things, you know, wait till the last 10, 15 minutes because you can't do it before. I was able to get everything done, all five courses, and on the table exactly on time.
That's a wonderful story. Now, you know, I sometimes play with time a bit when traveling, like, okay, I'm running late. I'd like to arrive by this time, even though my conscious mind says there's no logical, rational way this can happen. And I've seen some amazing things, but I have never seen the clock stop. That's totally amazing.
Yeah, it was really amazing. Yeah. It made me a total believer.
Yeah.
So anyway, on the website, there's an MP3 that you can do a meditation to call forth a kitchen angel into your life and use him or her as an ally in your kitchen. In your cooking.
Wonderful. Yeah, we can use all the help we can get in every area of our life. Now, you talk about how you can use food to explore things in new ways, including past lives. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, there's a number of different ways that past lives and food are connected. And my mom has been leading past life workshops for most of her 40-year career. And one way is that food can actually trigger past life memories.
Sure.
That we use an example in the book of a woman named Jennifer, who as a young child, she grew up in the Midwest and had pretty, you know, basic American Midwestern food. And at one point, though, was taken up for Chinese food. Mm-hmm. But it was American Chinese food. Right. And after that, she couldn't get enough of it. She begged to go back and have more and more. And it wasn't until her 20s that she had had Vietnamese food, or I think Vietnamese or Thai, I can't remember which. And suddenly she was flooded with this like sense of joy and calm and feeling like this is the way you're supposed to eat. And she did a regression and discovered that she had had a really happy life in Southeast Asia. And she realized that the American Chinese food as a child had been a stand-in, that it was the closest she could find at that point.
Right, reminiscent of, but not the exact thing.
Exactly. And it was when she had the more exact thing that suddenly this whole life came back to her. And then she was able to use that in her current life by understanding the happiness and joy that she'd had in this past life. And then another way that we write about in the Mystic Cookbook about past lives, and this is really fun. At the end of the book, we have a whole chapter called Legendary Meals. And these are meals that are more than simply taking in calories, their experiences. And so you can actually create a past life meal. And so maybe you've had a regression and you know you have a life in a certain time period or a certain part of the world. Or maybe you just have an idea that you did and you want to see or you want to work through it. Because as my mom says, the past is malleable. You can change your charge on an event from the past that will have lasting effects in the present. So you can create a meal from one of those time periods or places. You might want to do a little research, get traditional music, even dress in traditional clothing, create traditional foods. And the meal, why a meal is so powerful is because food is so physical. You take it into your body internally, and it's a connector between all of humanity. You ate food back then in your past life, and you eat it now in the present. And it's and because our sense of smell, which is connected to taste, is very closely related to our memory part of our brain. And so you can deeply connect to those past lives and then rework things that may have been challenging through that meal. And that can be really fun.
That's fascinating. And I mean, even people who don't believe in past lives per se understand this concept of how scent can trigger memories. I mean, I think about the scent of Scotch tape and I think of Christmases when I was a young child. Or the scent of crayons, and it brings up happy memory. But that makes perfect sense, sort of triggering those memories. And I think that, you know, I have had a couple of spontaneous past life memories, and I think that it made a believer out of me. You know, it wasn't that I had gone through, you know, and done a regression, which I think is very valid. But for me, something that just sort of popped up validates it for me. And so I think that for many of us, we may have a sense of a country, you know, a culture, the music, something that we're drawn to that we may not actually think of as past lives. But what a fabulous idea to, like, you know, dress up and create a beautiful spread of that type of food and see where it goes.
Yeah, and for those who don't believe in past lives or are a little skeptical or even maybe think maybe there's a possibility of past lives but not really sure, uh-huh. you can still have a quote-unquote past life meal and have a wonderful time, or call it something else.
Yes.
And explore a different culture, a region in history, a time period through your meals. And it can be a wonderful dinner party idea, or if you do it even alone, it can be just a powerful experience.
Yes, that sounds like fun. In your book, you two talk about the importance of feng shui and both in the kitchen and the dining room. Why is it important?
Well, you know, for the listeners who are not familiar with feng shui, it is the Chinese art of placement. It's this idea that there is qi, which is the Chinese word for the energy flow that mm-hmm. exists within our homes. And the kitchen is really the heart of the home. It's that, the ancient hearth of yore where families gathered. And even to this day, families tend to gather in the kitchen. It's where the mom or dad cook the meal, the children do their homework, and everybody gathers. So it really is that central place in the home.
Even during parties, that's where everybody
exactly.
ends up.
Exactly. And many of us, even if we don't want to, we identify with our home. So mm-hmm. our kitchen tends to be, if it's the heart of our home and we identify with our home, it tends to be closely connected to our self-worth and our uh-huh. identity. And so having that qi flow, that, good feng shui in your kitchen can be a great way to get that energy flowing. And I know for myself, and this baby's not even, it's not Chinese feng shui necessarily, but the idea of clutter clearing and space clearing, that when my kitchen starts to get dirty and those mm-hmm. dishes fill up in the sink and mm-hmm. it happens more than I would like to admit.
Well, if you cook, it's going to happen.
And I have a really, really small kitchen. Uh-huh. So you have a bowl of cereal and the kitchen's dirty. It's small. But I notice sometimes one little thing will start to bug me. Mm-hmm. Someone says something that just rubs me the wrong way, or something happens, or I start to get stressed about something I have to do. And that quickly starts to spiral out of control, And uh-huh. have you ever had that whereby,
absolutely.
By the end of the day, you're thinking, I'm a terrible person, or everybody hates me, or why do I even do this? Just goes totally out of control. Almost always, I notice that my kitchen is dirty when I start to have that downward spiral that uh-huh. isn't really based in anything. Because sometimes we have those spirals and there really is a lot of stuff going on in your life that
sure.
accounts for that. But
sure.
when sometimes it just seems to, I get super emotional and my kitchen's dirty. And as soon as I take that time to wash the dishes, wipe down the counter, scrub the sink, scrub off the top of the stove, I start to feel better and more, I feel lighter. I feel more uplifted.
Uh-huh.
So that's a great thing you can start with. You don't have to even do crazy feng shui superstition.
Sure.
You can just clean your kitchen and keep it clutter free. And we can talk more later about the actual feng shui that you can do as well.
Okay, great. And in the dining room as well. And we'll talk more about that when we return on the Christine Upchurch Show with guest Meadow Lynn.
We are giving birth today. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to ask that you submit a short story to make a difference in someone's life, someone that you care about, someone who could benefit from the care that Wellness One provides. And for that person, Wellness One is going to donate their services, not just to one person, but to several people over time. This decision will be based on the heartfelt sharing of what you write, on what you say that individual needs. They won't be sharing the story with anyone. It will be completely confidential. Dr. Thane, I would love for you to let folks know the best way to submit their story.
Go ahead and send it to my email. It's going to be Dr. Thane, D-R, T is Tom, H-A-I-N is Nancy, at wellnessone, that's wellnessone.net.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show on Transformation Talk Radio and KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area. I'm talking with Meadow Lynn here in the studio, and we've been talking about her and her mother Denise Lynn's book, The Mystic Cookbook, The Secret Alchemy of Food. And I'm learning all sorts of fascinating things, and I love the book, by the way. This is a beautiful book. I'm a Kindle lover, but this is one book where I wanted to have a hard copy, and I'm glad that I did, because there are beautiful photos of the food, you know, some of the recipes, as well as some photos of like dining spaces and, you know, different cultures, different locations around the world. And it's just one of those books that I want to open and savor visually. So, you know, you talk about the power of food. What's your perspective on how it can transform a person's life?
Wow. Well, you know, I talk about the way that you savor your meals is often can be, or when you savor your meal, you savor your life. Because so often the way that you approach your meals is how you approach your life. Many of us create so many rules for ourselves about food, mm-hmm. and we're very restrictive, or we judge ourselves for eating a certain kind of food, or we judge others, and it becomes very limiting. And it tends to then spread out into other aspects of our life where we are limiting ourselves in other ways. And it also, there's the idea of worthiness that often we will, you know, prevent ourselves from eating certain things because we feel like we're not worthy, or we prevent ourselves because we think, well, we can't have that because that will make me fat or that'll do whatever, but it's okay for other people. And sometimes then you're starting to tell yourself in a way, oh, I'm not worthy. I can't have that. So I usually recommend a couple of things in that situation. Either allow yourself to have those treats. Life's about joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about moderation, though, as well. Have a few bites of that perfect chocolate flourless cake mm-hmm. and enjoy every bite. And you will begin to enjoy other aspects of your life. You don't have to eat the whole cake, and you won't want to, because you will be satisfied. When I was in high school, fat-free was the rage. I'd eat a whole box of fat-free cookies because I wasn't satisfied.
Uh-huh.
Another thing you can do with worthiness is take time to create a beautiful meal for yourself. So many of us eat on the fly, or we give so much love and attention to other people mm-hmm. that we'll create a nice dinner party for friends and family.
Right.
And then we end up eating chips in the car or eat standing up with the refrigerator door open. Create a meal for yourself. Sit down. Light a candle, drink some wine. Take that time to do that self-care, that self-nurturing. You know, many of us can't necessarily afford or have the time to go to a spa or get a massage or even maybe a yoga class or even getting our nails done at the salon.
Uh-huh.
But we all have to eat. So take an extra 15, 20, 30 minutes. Create that meal for yourself and nurture yourself. And that can have really lasting effects, not just on the way that your body absorbs the nutrients for that food and the way you feel emotionally from eating that food, but it will begin to ripple out into other aspects of your life.
I love that concept, Meadow. It's on some level, to me, it's like being your own nurturing mother and valuing yourself to say, I'm worth it, and that I'm important enough for, you know, this experience and for this focus. And yeah, that's beautiful.
I love that. You know, so many people tell me, oh, I'm just so burnt out, or I don't cook for myself, or I cook for my kids, and now they're out of the house, and now I'm just too worn out. But that's when you need to take that time to really honor and nurture yourself.
Yes, yes. Balance. You know, it's, I've been reading about hormones recently, and they talk about how our cortisol gets, you know, all out of whack, which of course shifts the way our food affects our body, because, you know, the hormones are out of balance and that sort of thing. It's like you're treating it as, well, not necessarily meditation, but sort of with a meditative quality and valuing yourself. That's beautiful. You know, you are here right now for an event or two events at East West Bookshop. And for those of you in the Seattle area, this is not to be missed. Can you remind our listeners again about your East West Bookshop?
I'll be speaking at East West tonight at 7:30. It goes until 9 o'clock. And we will be talking about our beliefs about food, how our mood affects our food, and how our food affects our mood, and lots of other wonderful things about creating kitchen alchemy. And then tomorrow, Saturday, from 11 to 2, it will be an experiential workshop where we are going to dive into our senses and taste, see, smell, and touch food as never before.
That sounds great. And, you know, Meadow, you're such a bright light. And I think that we've gotten so far away from treating food as it's meant to be and treating our bodies the way they're meant to be treated so it can sort of enhance our spiritual path. Thank you for taking that risk, saying goodbye to your secure job that you were good at, that was providing you with that income, and moving forward on something that you're passionate about, because your passion affects how other people are now viewing food. And I want to thank you personally for that. And I want to thank you for all my listeners today.
Thank you so much. It's such a joy.
So can you remind our listeners again what your website is and what the cookbook website is?
My website is meadowlinn.com, and that's L-I-N-N. So meadowlinn.com. And themysticcookbook.com if you want to get a sneak peek at some recipes and some excerpts from the book, as well as some other treats.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Now, just have a few announcements before we go off the air. There are a few things going on at my center in the next several weeks, and I want to give people a heads up. First of all, I am now joining forces with Lauren Archer. We're going to be doing trance and transformation together at my center, Stellar Reflections in Woodinville here in the Seattle area. Now, on April 4th, she and I are going to be doing a trance and transformation at my center at 7 p.m., and the topic is planting the seeds of inspiration. We will be discussing sort of our philosophy and our perspective on this. And then Lauren will be guiding you. She's a hypnotherapist. She'll be guiding you through guided meditation while I provide some of the energetic support. Then on April 27th, oh, here's an event you don't want to miss. Authenticity Rising with my partner in fun, Sabrina Fritz. She lives in Colorado. We have a great time together. Authenticity Rising is a process that she and I kind of downloaded together. You know, a couple of years ago, we realized that true healing is about stepping into our authentic self, you know, expressing our soul's voice in our human body and experience. And over the course of just a few hours, when we decided this was important, we downloaded a process. We call it Authenticity Rising, 5 Fun Steps to True Empowerment. And it will be a day-long workshop with Sabrina and me teaching at my center in the Seattle area on April 27th. You don't want to miss it. Also, if you need to find out more information about me, stellarreflections.com. Also, you can find me on Facebook. Can't you find everybody on Facebook these days? Anyway, I've got a couple of different pages, Stellar Reflections, as well as The Christine Upchurch Show. And if you're listening, please get onto my page. You can either like it or leave me a comment. I'd love to hear your perspective on what I'm offering. Next week's show, oh, I'm really excited about next week. I've got best-selling author, life coach, Martha Beck. So please join me here next week. Meanwhile, have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.